what I gotta do. Offer to my walk-a-thon mission. The brothers that I knew with the rise go by. Only nights and the days looking down the road. Seeing beautiful girls with the car loads. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They are screaming, wish I had a little ride on my own. But since I don't, that is my sob story. My missions will continue as I keep on stalking. The stamina was dying from the constant walking. Right before the moment I began to call through my man Brittle, who had a sunroof and all. I thought he would have noticed my dying. When I yelled his name, he beat and kept driving. Now in my heart, it grew a big hole. Cause my little toe started rubbing on my insole. It was a fidgety burn, and then I said, wait, I got pride. It's time to get my own ride. Word. I came up with the scheme and got paid. I had no other choice but going out of the train. When I got my chance, though, I got kinda stingy up. Cause I got my cherry Pathfinder. Now I'm feeling good cause I'm off my feet. Many little squalid dogs running up on the street. And I'm saying, my name is Sharina. My name is Buster. My name is Tonya. My name is Buster. My name is Diana. My name is Buster. And what do you take me for? The little local pushover. No shame in my game cause that's how I got this. And when I return the favor, everybody gets pissed. And now I am the man feeling all the glory. And when your eyes down and gone, just remember that
I know you and you know me. I know you and you know me. I know you and you know me. It's the sob story, sob story. I know you and you know me. I know you and you know me. I know you and you know me. It's the sob story, sob story.
Red light, green light, 1, 2, 3. Here comes the hop along kid, Charlie B. I'm constantly moving with my Walkman kicking. My bunions are crying, beeping, clicking. Please, please, get into the vehicle. I stopped at Davis Ave, figured I'll see a cool brother to give me a ride.
Sorry, Charlie,
was a common reply.
Tell us about dignity and discretion, because that's what got me into U.S. Hunker. When you use those two words, I say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do business with them. Yeah, I'm going to be an ambassador for U.S. Hunger. Tell us about, we know that politically people are hungry for various reasons. People are so focused on red state, blue state, what's going on at the government level. Who cares? If you've been hungry,
well said.
You don't care who the governor is, who the president is. If you're not eating a square meal or a two square meals a day, especially if you have children and your food insufficient, and you have to swallow your pride and call U.S. Hunger or reach out to your health plan, you want dignity and discretion. Tell us about that model.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things. Let me give you a context for my response. One, people do not want to be helped by people they don't know that have never talked to them. And so there are these fallacies that I think we need to break down in the space of serving vulnerable populations. I don't care if you're healthcare or anything else, because they begin to narrate a response that you did not bring the voice of the person you're helping into the response. So I'll give you an example of that, right? An example of that is, well, you know, we got to give them certain kinds of food because if we don't,
right,
they're not going to know what to do with it. Maybe that's true, but you know what my question is? Prove that. Mm. Where's the data that proves that? I know that we have 250,000 individual stories,
right,
collective stories and narrative quantitative survey responses of 50 questions or more. I can prove it through the voice of the community.
And I've read the comments. I mean, I've sat in your boardroom and listened to the comments.
And folks are making
amazing experience
statements on the power of the emotion in the statement. Because what you're saying there potentially is someone's not smart enough to do what you would do if you met a new food. What would you do, James? If this new food, what am I supposed to do with this? This is the first thing you're going to do.
I'm personally going to go to YouTube and try to figure out how to cook it.
Thank you.
I've never cooked it.
Now, here's
what
I want
to make sure
I
don't ruin it. And I'm going to go to YouTube and find
out. What we're saying is people don't have the acuity to go on
Google. Do the research themselves,
And do the research themselves. Right. Now, here's the truth. Maybe there is a portion of that population that doesn't. But we narrate that into the norm.
Right.
And then we pre-build
responses. Well, we make the decision for them,
Correct, right? And back to this statement.
And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And you cannot have engagement or you cannot have equity if you don't have engagement. We are not engaging that voice to build the solution on the response. So I say that in the context that dignity is the most eroded thing when you pre-assume what somebody can do or can't. I just got to be honest with you. It's just pretty arrogant.
That's true.
And with the best of intentions in the heart, it's not arrogant, but it is still condescending, which is no better than arrogance.
Absolutely. And it's funny because we were talking about caps. Caps is the perception of healthcare. Because I've been at plans where I knew that the healthcare was great. I'm just like, man, this network is tight. Yeah. I was like, I would have my parents, my grandparents here. And the caps were very mid. You know, they're very, you know, in the middle. Then I've been at plans. I'm just like, man, this thing is a bleep show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the perception was high. And they got higher cap scores. So I think that perception, let the member decide. Let the person in need make the decision. And that's what U.S. Hunger does so very well, that you've built a model. And I've had a chance, like I said, to sit in your boardroom and to, you know, listen to and kind of read through some of the comments, especially in the COVID era where people were really suffering.
They're still coming in, James.
And it was an amazing experience.
So now to answer your question with that as a base, right? Dignity and discretion. It's not more important than it has been in the past, but we understand clearly why it's so important now. Mm. 7 out of the 10 of the folks that have come to U.S. Hunger, you know, more than a quarter of a million individuals now, are working class people. 8 out of 10 of those that come to U.S. Hunger, more than a quarter million people across all 50 states, have health insurance. And you've heard this stat. We've been tracking this stat from the start.
Right.
Right. So of the health insured, meaning the 8 out of 10 that come to us, 54% is Medicaid. 6% is duals.
Okay.
17% Medicare. The rest, private and commercially insured.
And that's a number that we don't expect.
Right.
We expect it to be 55-60%.
So now, now that I just described,
there's so many working people that are going to food banks.
We have seen
that live next door to you.
Correct. It is the bleeding up of
that are middle class
food challenges in the
especially with the economy now, because people, if you have a job, you're making $90,000 a year. You're comfortably, you know, able, not here in Nashville, but you're comfortably able to afford a house. And maybe you lose your job as a government job. You go out and get another job. Now you're making $60,000 a year.
Yeah.
Your budget is shrunk by a third, and there are a lot of people like that that are going to food banks because they don't have the resources to put the same level of food on the table that they used to have.
Let me give you an alternate version of that as well. Many won't go to the food bank because pride and dignity is central to them. And so what, you know, if you think about how I started my response here, we have painted a picture of what the food insecure looks like.
We have
painted that picture. It is a very emotional, it's a very great headline, you know, provide a donation response. And as a result of that, at least those that are coming to U.S. Hunger, 70% are working, 80% have health insurance.
Mm. I didn't know that. That's a huge
the
number.
The portion of the food insecure or those challenged with food security is becoming largely invisible because we have described what those vulnerable, quote unquote, see my air quotes, the vulnerable populations need in terms of food or any other issue. And it is not that that description isn't steeped in some truth, some reality.
Sure.
But how people want you to address their reality should be at the dignity of that person. And it should always start with gathering an understanding of what's driving them. And that's dignity. You cannot have equity without voice. You cannot solve a person's problem who you didn't talk to. And the biggest challenge I see with a very worthy cause in healthcare, food is medicine, is that it is not steeped in first food as direct engagement.
Live from the Paragon 7 studios, you are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 studios.
Sirius XM 141 HR Voices is now airing both the Rubicon, our healthcare franchise, and
the Lance J Radio Network, our sports and entertainment show hosted by yours truly, James Lewis. If you missed the live broadcast, you can always find us on Lance J Plus, where we podcast each segment of both shows.
Hip-hop has been a reflection of culture and society.
That includes stories of struggle
and pain,
social injustice,
racial inequality,
the marginalization of communities.
Today,
we confront a healthcare system
that has been rigged against all of us.
Hospitals force patients to sign contracts for services
without ever showing us actual prices.
Stifling competition,
overcharging without accountability.
And if we can't pay these same contracts,
allow them to take everything we own,
creating so much fear that millions and millions of Americans refuse to enter our hospital,
putting our health and our lives at stake.
This is an American humanitarian crisis.
We love our nurses
and we need our doctors,
but hospitals and insurers
rigging a system to make profits off of people that's in struggle is unforgivable.
We demand prices
and transparency in healthcare.
How?
To the patient.
James Lewis.
You dislike the decisions that I've made.
I do, because they have a poor impact. And I feel like CEOs or people managing hospitals should be somebody who has a license.
But what about so you should not be able to
manage a
hospital if you don't have a nursing license.
Not a nursing license. It could be an MD.
I've worked with people that said that to me when I've been in executive roles. They're like, well, you're not a nurse. I'm not going to listen to you.
I feel
and I'm like, you are going to listen to me, or you're not going to have a job on Tuesday. Like, it's just, let's work together.
I just don't think they really, people who don't come from that clinical background, who have not been on the front, they don't really have
they don't really respect what I do.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, the Rubicon. In 3, 2, 1.
Paragon 7 Studios. When you feel invisible, exhausted, stressed, or anxious, when you have days that just feel too hard to get through, you are not alone. If you or someone you love is struggling with mental health or problems with drugs or alcohol, help is right in your hands. Call or text 988 to connect with a National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline specialist and get support whenever you need it. Help is here. Call or text 988.